Return to Camp Blood, Episode 46, Community Spotlight with Janine Galarza. This episode is brought to you by Lipstick Legion.
Jason's cursed. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing it. We can stay here.
Never come back again.
Today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow counselor, Eric.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
So we here at Return to Camp Blood are very passionate about gender equality and how women are represented in our community. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be a lot of diversity in the makers among us. The first and only female maker we've ever featured on the show was way back on episode 33 when we talked to Diana Link about her fan fiction. So when we saw the work that Janine was doing with masks and props, we knew we had to talk to her about it. So how are you tonight, Janine?
I am fabulous. Doing great.
Right on. So I'm just going to jump right into it. What sort of drew you to the franchise in general?
Well, when I was growing up, I used to live in the Poconos in a very kind of secluded community. So, you know, being around like the wooded area and having, you know, the next house miles and miles away, you know, when I saw the movies, you know, it kind of, even to this day, it's severe nostalgia. Because, you know, it's just that I was in that environment and in the woods. And after I saw it, I was petrified. You know, I was a little girl going to camp, you know, things like that. Like if anything would happen to me, no one would hear it because the next, it's all vacation houses. So, you know, if anything would happen to me, no one would hear it. And, you know, funny thing is that we have a bus stop that all the kids used to walk like through the woods to their house because there were shortcuts. And then after I saw part three, well, I didn't walk that way anymore. I took like the long road in the street. So that's kind of what drew me to the franchise. It's just that it kind of hit home as being brought up in the woods.
That's fair
enough. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So what made you want to get into making masks?
Well, when I was a kid, about 12, you know, I used to save up all my money and all my allowance money just to get memorabilia. So I had kind of been collecting since I was a very little kid. So, you know, I saved up all my allowance and I bought this Jason mask that was just so cool. And it was just so done right. I mean, to me, to a 12-year-old eyes. And I kept it in safekeeping. And then Sandy hit and I had lost it. So, you know, I was looking around. This was about, you know, a couple years ago. And I just never really felt anything was good enough as what I had it. You know, and of course I buy the NECA ones because, you know, it's licensed and we all kind of jump into that licensed hole or that gimmick. And you buy this thing because, you know, it has the name on it, but it's still not as right as what you will want it.
And it's so brittle, then I said, you know, and hard to wear.
Yeah, and it's heavy, and if you drop it, you know, it might break. So I was like, you know what, fuck it, let me just make it myself. And then I shared it on Facebook, and then, you know, it grew to a liking, and then I made it for a friend, and then a friend of my friend wanted it, and then it just kind of grew there to creating an Etsy site, and here I am today, launching my own website. So it's very crazy. So crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. We were supposed to give away a NECA part four, and Eric sent it to me. And when I got it, it was in pieces.
Yeah, because I think it's resin, right? I think it's made out of like very hard material.
It's hard, but it's very brittle, and the slightest ding completely breaks it. I'm a very, very big stickler for detail when it comes to these masks as well.
Sure.
And NECA just didn't live up to the quality. However, that being said, I would love, love to have a NECA reboot machete, which was actually really cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure, like all of us being fans, we're very sticklers to the details, you know, up into like the scratches on the mask and, you know, the different types of shading and the different types of weathering. So when I was looking for replacement of this mask that I had since I was 12 years old, I'm like, you know, I'm looking and looking and looking. I just couldn't find it. And, you know, I saw people making it, and I've joined some groups on Facebook, and they were kind of sharing their tips and things like that. And that's kind of how it all started. I just self-taught myself, and, you know, through the power of YouTube, I was able to create something. And it kind of blew people away. And then it just went crazy after that. Like a year and a half, I just can't believe where I'm at now, just from one mask that I wanted to make myself. Like, it's just, I never would have thought that I would have a small business that I do now.
Yeah. And speaking of your work on the mask, one thing that really drew me to your page was the Freddy versus Jason version you have on there. Now, normally when people do a Freddy versus Jason and they want to mash it up, they normally, you know, paint the mask and Freddy's sweater colors or something.
Christmas tree.
I don't really like, but yours is definitely unique in that category, because, you know, half the mask is painted up like Jason, and the other half is painted up like, you know, Freddy's face. So what made you kind of go that route with it?
When I finished the part four mask, what's unique about that part four mask is that, you know, I wanted the blood to look very dried up and like very real looking. So I added latex to my masks, and I'm like, you know, shit, this looks like real blood. Like, I can get away with this. And then a light bulb just went off my head. Like, if I can put latex here to do blood, I can put latex work and anything else. And that's kind of where the idea of creating the half Freddy face, because it's all latex. So all that skin, even when you feel the mask, it's soft. So it feels like skin. It looks like skin. And I'm like, well, if I can apply latex to these masks, then really, you know, I can create a lot of things. So it's more of just like using, you know, more material, different things to create endless possibilities of mashups.
How long have you been at it, making masks in general?
It's coming up to 2 years. So I'm still, you know, listen, I'm a newbie in the bigger picture of mask making and painting and artists. You know, I'm just a simple girl from Brooklyn. I'm trying to survive in a sea of like heavy hitters. You know, you have Justin Watson, and you have Elite Stone, and you have JC from Creeping Death. You know, like, where do I fit? And I guess that's when we talk about women in horror, like, where do I fit? Like, how do I measure up with these guys who are so good, and, you know, they're pioneers, you know? Like, am I accurate? Like, you know, and one of my biggest challenges is that when I'm doing a mask, you know, and then I look at someone else's and I'm like, oh, like, my work is so mediocre compared to some of these guys. And you can't really think that way, you know, like, your style is your style, and you know, it is what it is. Like, people are going to like my style compared to others. And that's kind of, you know, what I've been doing in the past 2 years, is just creating my own line of hawks.
Yeah. So I'm glad you sort of went that route. Because I did want to ask you, why do you think it's such a male dominated hobby? I mean, you know, I'm a part of several groups, and obviously there's lots of females in these groups. So it's not like, you know, only men are watching these movies and loving them. You know, so, but, you know, why do you think that it's mainly males doing, you know, doing the costumes and doing the masks and stuff like that?
Well, I feel like coming up to, especially with how big conventions are and how big cosplaying is, and how popular the fact of like gender bending is. So now you see more of like a female version of Jason, but, I just think that horror in general, you know, there's a lot of gore and there's like a lot of like sexual, you know, I can't really tell you. I mean, I feel like, first of all, I can't tell you that there's also a lot of male artist versus female artist. You know, we're all the same. And I don't know if women are afraid to speak up or I can't really answer that question because I'm a female doing it. So to me, like, if you are a female and you have this talent, like, why wouldn't you go for it? You know, and if you're into horror like I am, and it's your passion, I mean, I don't see why there would be a need to not even, you know, follow that dream. But usually when I go into these groups and I go into Facebook, it really is all males making these horror props and making these masks. And I guess it's because of the horror and because of the gore and because of the slasher, and it's not pretty and it's not feminine, you know? So that would be my guess.
I would beg to differ.
I mean, it's a hard question. It's a hard question to answer because to me, I'm a female and I do paint and I do love horror. So it comes very easily to me. So why other females wouldn't do it? I mean, it's really a shame that I don't really see many out there. But you know, and it's funny because in horror, especially like if you go on Etsy and things like that, or an Instagram page, if it's clothing, if it's gothic clothing, if it's accessories, if it's, you know, there's a whole bunch of punk girls, there's a whole bunch of goth girls, but I feel like it's like towards the market. Is it the market of accessorizing? Is it the market of the merchandising or merch or clothing? That is pretty big. But as far as artists, you know, it's, I would love to see more, you know, artists and mask painters myself who are women and not just modeling these things or modeling these clothes or creating a jewelry line, like, you know, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I also, looking at your Etsy page, your Scream, mm-hmm. Friday the 13th mashup that you have, you successfully, with one mask, you successfully managed to slip in three mashups, actually, from Edvard Munch's The Scream to Wes Craven's Ghostface to adding chevrons and making it Jason. I love the level, the triple entendre that you have there.
It's, thanks.
That's really cool. Now on your part nine, well, excuse me, your Jason Goes to Hell, your part seven, do you use a different brand of mask for like your part seven and your part nine as far as JDF or?
Well, you know, I'm really glad that you asked that question because right now, since I've been starting out and it's really important to me that I make all of the parts. I started off with China white, with the China blanks. So now that I pretty much have all of the ones that I wanted to create, I'm also going to be like launching type of a variance line, and those will all be the JDF blanks.
Right.
Which is cool because now I get to offer, you know, different price points. So for the kid who is more interested in my art than it actually looking like the blank looking screen accurate, then you have this price point. If you want the blank to be screen accurate and you want the paint to be screen accurate and just more detail, then you have this price point. So right now I just have the China blanks and the nine that you saw there, interestingly enough, I burned that. I melted the China blank, you know, and just kind of molded it and dented it to how I saw it on the screen. So that's not a variant, but that's kind of like where I wanted to go with that direction. It's a different style, more screen accuracy. It's definitely coming up by the end of the month.
So on the part seven, that is a China blank. And so
I cut it.
Mm-hmm. You cut that out, then you charred a little bit, and that you pulled off a pretty cool little trick there. That's definitely awesome.
It fooled me. It didn't when I was looking at some of these, they didn't look like China blanks to me. You know, you got your part three and your Roy. I mean, those are, yeah, you can definitely tell that's what it is. But when you've done heavy damage to the mask, you do a great job of not making it look like a China blank.
Yeah, you do.
Perfect. Thank you. That's a great compliment. I mean,
yeah, because we were going back and forth earlier about, you know, it looks like she's using something else because they don't look like the other ones.
I definitely took a lighter to the nine more, you know, burned and more distressed type of variant look. But, you know, like, hey, you know, as an artist, especially with Friday the 13th, I mean, it's really like a dream. You know, you get to create all these masks. They're all different. You can create them in different styles. You can create them. Some people, I get, you know, different requests, or, you know, it's just been an awesome ride. You know, I'm not doing the same thing over and over and over again. You know, I get to change it up a little bit, you know, and Jason is different in every movie. And, I, you know, as an artist, you can't ask for more than that, you know?
Okay, well, you have been very perfect in this whole show about allowing me to segue into my next question. So I appreciate that you would say you like not having done the same thing over and over again. So this is a question that we always like to ask.
Sure.
And your time making, you know, not only the mask, but this can be whatever as far as your artistic career has been through so far. What's the funniest or strangest thing a customer's asked of you?
I mean, it wouldn't be strange, but I have been asked to do an NES. I'm like, really? You want to pay for me to do like a blue glow in the dark mask? I mean, I guess.
Yes.
And I guess, here you go. Let me just spray paint. It doesn't even have any chevrons on it. Just here you go.
Yeah. That cosplay pulled off right looks amazing.
It does. It's very cool. I can't deny that.
And but I could see how, I mean, whenever I first I can tell by what mask you had pre-Sandy that I'm a tad, basically I'm an old man. And it's not, you know, drilling out the old plastic glow in the dark and trying to match up every hole.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to work with when I was a kid trying to cosplay Jason before cosplay was cool.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was hard, you know, and like I said before, you know, with the power of YouTube, I was able, and I'm sure you guys know who he is, but J.C. Wilde from Creeping Death. I mean, thank God that he released his video. I mean, it's an hour long and it's so informative. And without that man, I wouldn't really be where I am today. And I'm glad that we have these resources. These guys, you know, are able and willing and to share all of their trade secrets, and people are uploading videos. I mean, you can learn how to do this trade in a day, you know, and that's kind of, you know, me being a woman and being a newbie. It's like, you know, all these guys are so great, you know, and this guy is asking me for an NES. Like, how simple can it be? But, you know, and I'm sure you can vouch for this, that back in the day, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to cosplay. Now you can go off of someone else's cosplay and kind of tweak it your own. But, you know, I'm glad that I live in a day where all of this material and all this information is readily available to me. You know, it's great.
You know, I'm a firm believer that there's three people in the world that you should never rush. One is your tattooer. Two's your dentist, and three's your mask maker.
that's totally true. Totally true. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it would be also my hairstylist, because, you know, I don't want my hair to fall off, or I don't want it to look like shit either. So, you know, totally, I get it. You know, it takes time. And that's why, you know, I try to make it at a price point where, you know, it's affordable for the masses. But, you know, when I see people, you know, making these busts or just these gorgeous works of art, and they charge, you know, a decent amount of money, like, good for you. You know, good for you, because a lot of people just don't value, you know, how long hard work takes or how long it took that person. You know, if you divide it by the hours, you know, you'd be surprised more often than none. So, you know, and this, I can't even, I mean, you know, in this environment, or this industry, I should say, in this industry, sorry, I couldn't think of the word. In this industry, you know, you want to be competitive, but you also want to stay true to your trade and you know, what you have to offer. So, you know, I respect it.
Yeah, and I know you're relatively new in the mask community, but you definitely have some very interesting and unique work, and I can't wait to see you grow as an artist in the community.
Thank you.
I think you got some good stuff going on.
Absolutely.
Where can our listeners go on the web to check your stuff out?
Well, I'm on Instagram for Lipstick Legion. I'm also on Etsy and Facebook. Like I said, I'm going to be launching my website at the end of the month. So if you just type in Lipstick Legion, it should all come up. And, you know, you can definitely message me for anything that you want, any modifications or just questions. You know, I'm available. And, you can reach me at any one of those.
Yeah, and I'll put all those links in the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/46. Well, Janine, we really appreciate you being on the show. It's been a pleasure having you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. You guys have a lot of awesome guests, so I'm definitely honored to be on the show. Thank you for thinking about me.
Yeah. Well, like I said, when I ran across that Freddy versus Jason mask, I was like, yep, I have to talk about that.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, you got to have fun with it. Everybody has their threes to nines up into the remake, but you know, you got to make it fun and interesting, and that's what it's all about.
All right, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to the show. If you want to support us financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. If you think you or someone you know should be featured on the show, you can hit us up at campbloodpodcast.com/feedback or comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/46. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check his stuff out at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.